Welcome to Working Media with Rafael Bracero.
All right, so I am here with Rodney Gerdau, who is a lifelong friend and often colleague in marketing and some companies that we have both worked in over the years. Welcome, Rodney. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So we're actually taping this. It's New Year's, or it's actually the December 31st. So it's the last day of 2020.
I like to call it New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, yes. And what a year it's been for all of us. So it's good to end with a friend here, a friendly voice. And what I wanted to do first was just to talk a little bit about how we kind of came up together. So Rodney, we went to USC together. We did our MBAs together.
The Marshall School of Business. That's right.
Marshall School of Business.
And we had a great time.
We won't say the year because we're very young men still.
A very long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
I hardly recognize the place these days.
Oh my goodness. They have spruced it up quite a bit.
No, yeah, they've built it up. And it was new when we went. Now they've rebuilt it up.
I know. I do miss the koi fish. They usually have some lovely koi fish at the Marshall School. I think those are gone now. But they did build it out in extraordinary sense.
A fine school it is, if anyone's looking for a place to go learn business.
Oh, yes. One of the best ones. So now when you were starting, so you had worked in entertainment before you actually went to SE. So tell me a little bit about when you started to enroll into SE, into Marshall School. Were you already thinking you would be studying marketing or did you
have I had planned on marketing since before I went to undergrad. And I had planned on going to business school at some point whenever the time was right. And I was on a temp job, I think in the summer of 2000. I've said the year. Anyway, I was on a temp job. I was working at Princess Cruises, and there was a guy next to me working there, and we got to talking, and it turned out he was on a summer break or had just graduated or something from Marshall School, and I told him about my dream, and he introduced me to the admissions people or made an introduction or a referral or something. And as it turned out, I had just taken the GMAT and I had done rather well on it. And it was very late in the admissions process, but the admissions guy said, it's late, but with your GMAT scores, we can get you in. And so at the very last minute before the school year began, they admitted me. And I joined the class that Rafael was in.
And by the way, I should say that Rodney is being very modest because he's actually not only did he score very well in the GMATs, but he's also a member of Mensa. So not everybody can claim that.
That was actually the Mensa thing was because of the GMATs. That's one of the admissions paths is doing really well on a standardized test.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
So then when you started, so then obviously everybody has to take certain core classes in marketing. I mean, so as you kind of went through, did you have a sense of what you wanted to do in marketing?
You know, in the beginning, I thought I wanted to do kind of marketing strategy, sort of from the consulting angle. And that's what I had my eye toward the first year when everyone thinking about internships. And as it turned out in our economy, that was probably the absolute worst year to be thinking about consulting. There were just no jobs. And I ended up not getting the kind of internship that I really wanted in consulting, or as it turned out in brand marketing, which is kind of what I shifted toward after hearing a bunch of my friends gush about it over the summer. And so I ended up doing kind of a business development internship and trying to, you know, glean marketing lessons from that. I worked for a small publishing company called Tokyo Pop, which was doing anime and manga publishing and looking toward expanding into retail and looking toward expanding into toys and just evaluating business opportunities for them.
And in a way, Tokyo Pop was actually a good kind of seeding ground for you when you ended up going to the next toy company that you work with, which was
Mattel, just like you. We both ended up at Mattel after graduation. I was in Barbie licensing for a little while, and a few other roles bouncing around, looking for the best opportunity. I think you were also in Barbie marketing, and we still talk about your first advent calendar to this day.
Yeah.
But
that's reserved for our future daughter.
yeah. But Mattel was a fantastic place to work, and no hard feelings. I left there in a massive layoff. I think like over 1,000 people got axed that one day. But I enjoyed it all.
Yeah, definitely. Mattel was a great company to work for, especially. I think I agree with you about the job market around the time that we were coming out of school. It was, I'd say, nothing short of atrocious. Although I would wage that the people coming out of MBAs now are probably in worse shape than we are even.
In 2020, yeah.
Oh yeah,
I hadn't thought of that. Sure, yeah.
But I mean, they're both obviously very very tough periods. But I mean, I think with a company like Mattel, I mean, I think that gave you an opportunity to work on unbranded content and big brands like Barbie. I think you also had a chance to work on the promotion side. So did you, when you worked on the promotional side of things, did you enjoy that more than the licensing, or did you have a preference, or how did you think
about that? I worked in the promotional side you're talking about is when I was in merchandising, and I was doing point of purchase displays and pre-packs and kind of working with packaging and all that, so that side of promotion. And I liked a little bit of the variety and the process of it all, but I think I enjoyed the product development part of when I was in the licensing team better. I liked developing something from the start a little more than just kind of promoting it at the end.
I think I agree with you, and to a certain extent it allows you to be a little bit of, especially in the toy industry, right? It allows you to be kind of put on your Santa Claus hat, so to speak, because you are like developing toys. So to me, even though I've worked on a lot of different types of products, those first products are still some of the ones that give me the most pleasure, because I know that my fingerprints are all over.
Exactly. I think the more fingerprints you can put on your work, on your output, your product, the more satisfying it is. And it reminds me that that's one reason I did not like working in the auto industry, which had also been a lifelong dream of mine, because I was always a car guy growing up. And for a couple of years, I got to work at Honda, and I thought it'd be great to work in a car company. But it turns out a place like that is really not marketing driven. It's engineering driven. And anybody even if you are in a marketing role, you have very little chance to put a fingerprint on the final product.
Yes.
It's not set up that way. But if you're a marketing guy at a toy company, you can create a product that's entirely yours, pretty much.
And, you know, and also thinking about the fact that like about 70% of those lines typically change over year. So right. that, you know, by definition, it's new product development all the time, you know, except
all for, the time. Right.
Yeah,
right.
So,
but if right. I was a product development guy working on Honda Civic, there's very little I can do to influence the next Honda Civic. Right. As an individual,
exactly, so. And also, I mean, you're talking about like major ad budgets, and you know, working with AOR agencies, right? That are have been probably in those accounts way longer than anybody that's on the team. So, mm-hmm. so it's they have a lot of pull in terms of how the marketing gets done. You know, so it's obviously, you know, the CMO will and kind of senior leadership will have an influence. But if you're kind of more like a, you know, kind of like a brand manager level, it's a lot harder to kind of have that outsized impact as you would in other types of industries where it's a little bit more kind of light industrial or, you know, light consumer product area. So,
yeah. You know, I'd say the same thing about being in the entertainment industry. You know, the whole creative side yes. is, you know, the directors and actors and writers. It's not the promotional people like I was. Mm-hmm. You know, we can, you know, help something be successful, but we don't create anything. So
exactly,
that's you know, that wasn't my cup of tea either. You know, there are a lot of people in showbiz who just have to be in the industry. That's what they've always dreamed of. And it was never that for me. I just wanted some marketing experience before I went to business school. So
right.
that wasn't really the place for me.
Right. And now tell me about a little bit about your kind of shift over to, you know, data science. Cause I mean, I know that that's like a really hot area right now. And it, you know, obviously it lends itself to a lot of different disciplines, but you know, clearly marketing would also be one of them. How did that come about? I mean, obviously you're very you know quant driven in what you do, but what was that journey like?
Well, I'd say that at core, what was interesting me all along, and what kind of pushed me toward marketing strategy was a desire to be influential in decision making, and that's something I started in undergrad when I was a psychology major, and it's something I was always interested in through business school.
And you went to Berkeley, strategy right? classes.
I went to UC Berkeley, yeah.
Right.
And it's recently become, I think, more and more important in business strategy to find insights from the wealth of data that's being created all the time that previously was sort of unavailable due to just being out of reach computationally to integrate, you know, massive amounts of data or to delve extremely deeply into existing data. It's something that's you know really grown up in the past decade, and I learned a little about it and became convinced that was sort of the wave of the future in terms of strategizing for business or really for any field.
Right.
You know, not just business but you know everything in medicine and politics and what have you.
So you kind of reinvented a little bit like in kind of your career path, because this is like data science is kind of you know it's its own thing as well, obviously, even though it is applicable to marketing. And you do have it's a much more kind of it's a tool that has a lot more looks to it, so to speak, than just you know pure kind of marketing role, right?
It can be, yeah, but you know, ultimately, you know, even when you have, kind of a data science toolkit under your belt, you still have to sort of specialize. And whether you're going to be doing, you know, business recommendation, or whether you're going to be doing like natural language processing, or some kind of machine learning or predictive analytics, you're going to have to choose a specialty of how you're going to apply your skills. And, you know, combined with my background, I'm probably going to try to, you know, use it with an eye toward business strategy. That's it makes more sense for me.
Great. So then just and then I guess just a parting question for you in terms of you know, for the audience and especially for folks that are looking to start their MBA or are looking at their career direction. What is like the one thing that you wish you had known when you began your career that you think would be most helpful for those folks that are either kind of mid-career or, you know, they're just starting their career, but then, like, you know, you're kind of at that pivot, and like, you know, what are the things that you know, we think like that little nugget that it might be helpful for those people as they're coming through?
It's tough to say. I think more than I realized at the time, I think your post MBA career depends a lot on your pre MBA career, and it wasn't as transformative as I thought it was going to be. So I think people should, you know, start as early as possible, and then look at business school as an accelerator or a boost, but not so much a starting point or a change of direction. And it's critical, I think, to get internships lined up super early. At least that's how it was, you know, at the time that you and I were getting out there in the market. It's hard to think of advice off the top of my head.
Do you think it's better nowadays, right? Because it's a very different world that we're living in, to do a part-time MBA than a full-time MBA? Because, you know, you could still kind of garner that experience while you're doing it. And also, obviously, it's out of pocket. It's not as much of a burden as well.
Well, I think if you have the time, I think the full-time MBA was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. I had a great time.
I mean, the first year was brutal, and working around the clock, but you're with your full-time friends, and it's great. Second year, when you start to specialize a bit, is a little more relaxed, I think, but that you're spending all your time searching for jobs if you're you know, unless you're lucky enough to have one lined up from the previous summer.
You know what, one thing that I thought was always interesting is like the folks that went and did a study abroad their second year. I always thought those folks, oh my god, like they're so I mean, I think a lot of those folks already had lined up their internships. Right,
it changes the second year entirely if you don't have that burden on you the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, completely, completely. But I mean, I'm just thinking, like, you know, if you go to INSEAD or you know, or some school in Europe or you know, or somewhere else, where you're essentially in this new environment, but you know, you're completely disconnected from the recruiting and all that. Like, I mean, if you don't have a job, like, you're gonna be doing everything by email and very expensive phone calls. So,
well, I have to imagine that those people are going to have a big leg up for international opportunities.
Sure.
And that there are companies who are looking for people who have international experience, and so maybe that's good for them, you know.
Yeah. Oh no, I wish, I'm saying it in the context that I wish I had done it, but I had wish I had done it had already lined up the internship at the time. So,
sure.
But no, and it's fascinating just to see, you know, just the variety of folks. Cause, you know, I think we have maybe about, I would say maybe 25% of our class was in marketing in one way or another. And you know, and I look at where they are and they're I mean, they're in all sorts of different industries. And, you know, some of them have continued in marketing, some of them have not. But it's you know, it's the dispersion of areas is very, very large. So I guess there's, I mean, there's really, it's really whatever you make of it in a sense, and you know, whatever breaks you get, you know, that come at you or that you generate. But it's been it's definitely been a very interesting journey for sure.
So how would you answer that same question about advice to someone earlier in their career? And what to do about business school?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the way that I would answer would be, and it really depends on what the end goal is, right? So if the end goal is to work for, let's say, a consumer products company as a brand marketer, then I would say the best thing you could do before you get into the MBA is to actually work at an advertising agency, because that allows you to touch many brands and many functions, meaning not functions per se, but like kind of sub functions of marketing. So I mean, you could do anything from you know, account planning, strategic planning, you know, media planning, you know, working on, I mean, obviously now digital, it's its own thing. I mean, you know, you've got everything from, you know, plain vanilla, and really nothing is plain vanilla these days, but you know, looking, you know, working on paid social or organic campaigns, you know, you're working on performance marketing, right? PPC, you know, you could be doing programmatic, you could be doing TV. So there's so many things that you can do. So I think you would have a hugely improved kind of perspective on, and it doesn't even matter if you go into consumer or tech. I think working in advertising is probably the best way to do it, because essentially it's, you know, it's like, you know, baptism by fire. And of course it matters what agency you're with and what kind of experience and range they can provide. I mean, you want it to be one where that, you know, you can kind of cross-pollinate a little bit. But that, I would say that would be one. I mean, in my case, I came from banking background. So I felt like it was like a fairly hard pivot into marketing. So for me, the MBA really, you know, thankfully did its thing. You know, with I was lucky to get some generate some opportunities in those summers, but yeah, I mean, I would say getting something that's gonna help you put you in a better position once you're in the brand role, because you know, at the end of the day, like the thing that everybody wants to do when you're in marketing at a consumer products company is either A, new product development, right? Or B, or working on big campaigns. So for the advertising stuff, you know, and working on those big campaigns, right? So that, like that ad agency experience was really helpful. So that would be one way. But I mean, I think it's becoming harder and harder to just give like a cookie cutter advice, because it's so different the paths that you can go down. Yeah. But I think, you know, especially at the time, I think that would have been a pretty strong route. So
good.
So Rani, so thank you so much. I really appreciate the time you spent. I mean, gosh, you know, while we've been having part of this interview, I'm hearing in the background some of the kids that I enjoy. I'm the godfather too, so lovely family that you have. And
thank you very much. Next time I'll keep them quieter.
No. It's always fun. It's always fun to hear them. So I think, I mean, with that, you know, just wishing you and the family a very happy new year, and hopefully we can do this again sometime soon.
And a prosperous 2021.
All right.
And safe and healthy. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Rafael.
All right. Thank you. And we'll be back with another podcast very soon. Thank you.
All right. So long.
Bye-bye. Thank you.